This is Studio B Live. I'm your host, David Burns. Studio B Live is brought to you by Long Lane Honeybee Farms here in central Illinois. And we're happy to be along with you today talking about honeybees, beekeeping, all the joys of the great hobby, our business of beekeeping. So thank you for tuning in today. And we hope that today's broadcast will be a lot of fun for you to enjoy learning more about honeybees. And we're doing everything we can to encourage more people to get involved in beekeeping. And we hope that you are perhaps someone that we have helped get involved in beekeeping. Or maybe you're somebody that's just kind of looking around, maybe checking out our website, reading some beekeeping lessons to see if maybe you really want to take the big step. And so we just want to thank you, whether you are an existing beekeeper or someone who is investigating it. We have so many calls and emails of people who say that they're interested in beekeeping, so they got on the internet and they began to look around. They came across our site and they began to read the beekeeping lessons and got encouraged to keep honeybees. And all the time, I mean, I don't want to use too many superlatives, but it seems like every day, all the time, people are calling us and writing us and saying, hey, I found your website. I'm interested in beekeeping. I want to know more. I love your site. Some people just call up and say, hey, I'm a believer. Send me two hives and two packages of bees. I want to get started. I'm in. And it's great. So we want to thank all of you who are taking that big step and becoming a beekeeper. Hey, it's a lot of fun. I know it seems overwhelming to some of you to think that you would actually be keeping an insect. We often refer to them as an animal because they're part of the animal kingdom. But you would be keeping something that stings. And you might be thinking, I must be crazy. And you tell people in your family that you're thinking about keeping bees. And they're like, what? Are you crazy? It's just amazing how many people are getting involved in beekeeping. I am absolutely amazed. I talk to people around the country through email and phone conversations that we have, and we are all just amazed this year alone how many people are getting involved in beekeeping. It's wonderful because we believe this is the way to restore the dwindling numbers of honeybees in our country by more people keeping bees. So we're excited about this. And boy, it's just great. 2009 has started off with a bang on people getting involved in beekeeping. So you're not alone. If you're brand new, you're thinking about it, you think you're the only one in Utah, the only one in Florida, the only one in Illinois, the only one in Indiana, you're not at all. We are shipping out hives at an unbelievable pace all around the country, getting people ready to start keeping bees in the spring. And so, and no doubt there are many people near you that you can begin talking to. And this is a good opportunity for me to encourage you to become involved in a local beekeeping association. Here's how it works. For example, here in Illinois, we have a central large beekeeping association. It's called the Illinois Beekeepers Association. All the beekeepers in the entire state of Illinois are privileged to be a part of the broader ISBA, Illinois State Beekeeping Association. Underneath this big umbrella of the main association are many, many, many local associations, of which I'm part of one. I'm actually the president of Central Eastern Illinois Beekeepers Association, as well as being the central regional director of the ISBA. And so each local association can meet in their area. That way, you know, you don't have to drive all the way to the capital of your state to have a local meeting, or, you know, you can have a local meeting near you. It doesn't take anything. It's just a handful of beekeepers getting together. And more than likely, these associations, the smaller ones, already exist in your area. They can be anywhere from, you know, a handful of people up to a couple hundred of people. It just depends on the size of the beekeeping association in your area. But it is very beneficial to be a part of these local associations. Now, let me be honest with you. There are some associations that, well, I don't know how to say this politely, but they seem to be part of the good old boys club. You can get a handful of guys sitting around and talking about, you know, everything but honeybees at these beekeeping meetings. But for the most part, these associations are very beneficial. Usually they're conducted in a very informative way where you can learn a lot. They have presentations. They have guest speakers. You pay a small fee. You can get a discount from the bee journals, such as the American Bee Journal, the Speedy Bee, or Bee Culture. You can get a little bit off those subscription prices if you are a part of a local association. So there's a lot to be gained from being a part of a local association. Probably the biggest of all, the biggest benefit of all, is that you can have camaraderie with those who have been keeping bees longer than you. They may know something, they may not. Time doesn't always reflect knowledge, but in beekeeping, certainly someone who has been keeping bees longer than you warrants some respect, and you to listen and take what they say with a grain of salt, but to listen and learn, and you might even find a great mentor. You ladies out there that are beekeeping, oh boy, don't think it's a man's hobby. Don't think it's just a man thing. There are so many women involved in beekeeping, and there are many, many women who are a part of the associations too. You can strike up some good camaraderie, some friendships, whether you're a man or a woman, or even a young child, a young adult. You're just going to enjoy being a part of local associations. So think about that. And the best way to find out of an association in your area is to contact your State Department of Agriculture and ask to speak to the beekeeping division. And they'll, you know, maybe put you on hold two or three times, but they'll finally run somebody down for you. And in some states, it's actually under the DNR, the Natural Resources. But you can maybe call your home extension office near you, and you'll be able to find an association near you. Hey, you know, the association that I'm in, we actually own several kinds of beekeeping tools. Like, we own a couple of uncapping knives, some extractors, some uncapping tanks, and these are loaned out free of charge to those who are a member of our association. And that's another benefit, a lot of benefits to be a part of an association. So think about that, and it will help you overcome maybe some of the difficulties of just getting started. Now remember, here at Long Lane Honeybee Farms, my wife and I are here to help you. We do our best. We spend a lot of time on the phone. We publish beekeeping lessons at basicbeekeeping.blogspot.com. We also broadcast these Studio Bee Live recordings so that you can listen and learn a lot about beekeeping. So we hope that you take advantage of the opportunities you have with us here at Long Lane Honeybee Farms to glean from the information that we have learned over the years. We operate about 50 hives. We sell packages. We raise our own queens. We sell honey. We manufacture the hives, the woodenware. We sell all the beekeeping equipment. So we do hope that maybe we'll be your one stop of getting started in beekeeping, as we have been to so many this year. So thank you for being a part of Long Lane Honeybee Farm and the part of the teaching today. Well, you know, I was thinking today about how cold it is outside, and this time of the year we're continuing to wait for a warm spell where we can go check a little bit on our hives, maybe pop the top off, see if they need a little food, maybe throw some pollen patties in there or some fondant or some hard candy that people make. There's just a lot of different types of feed or food that we can throw into a beehive during this time of the year if they're getting low on their own resources. And normally a beehive is fine. They make it through this time of the year having stored up enough honey for themselves, and so we don't worry about them. And that's what we're hoping for. But at the same time, we're looking forward to spring, and it's not all that far away. I can see the maple trees already kind of getting a little bit, swelling just a little bit, as they do in this time of the year. But boy, we've still got some cold weeks ahead of us here in central Illinois. So we're hoping for the best for the bees and looking forward to coming out of the winter with as many bees as we can bring through the winter. And if some die out, well, we'll just have to replace those and keep on going. Keep your chin up. Don't feel bad. They are animals. They're livestock. They're insects. And they do die. Keep your chin up. Start again. You've got your equipment ready. You know, you've already got your equipment. Got some drawn comb from last year's hive. So if they die out, it's okay. Not the end of the world. And you'll just get right back into it and let that new package of bees carry you through. We are selling packages, so do call in early to make sure that you get your package ordered. We don't want you to lose out. We don't know what to expect about availability this year. They sell out so quickly each year throughout our country, so be sure and be in line and be in time to get your package bees. Call us at 217-427-2678. As we continue to answer email, we feel this is one of the benefits of our broadcast. It's by letting you hear some of the questions that people ask us, and by listening to those questions and hearing our answers, you too can learn without having to ask the questions. And so we know that you'll benefit from some of the emails that I'm about to read to you, and some of them are geared toward new people starting to keep bees and a few questions that people have. Some questions I answer over and over again. this is email from Mike, who says, I've been visiting your site and find it interesting. I retired last year and am interested in starting beekeeping. We live in Illinois on a farm, approximately 50 acres, pasture with lots of chicory and some clover, white and pink. The rest is crop ground that we rent out. Cattle do run in the pasture, are approximately 60 head. We also have 10 to 15 mulberry trees. We had bees in our garden last year that seemed to stay in the area as part of a fenced area was not pastured. We also planning on putting in some fruit trees. Most of the ground around us is cropped, and insecticides are applied on ground and with planes. We also have ample water supply with a creek running through backside, but a lot of this water is watershed from the fields, as I have not yet found a spring. Question is, do you believe we would have a good opportunity to have a successful beehive? Well, Mike, you have every opportunity to not just to have a successful beehive, but man, you ought to go and get a bunch of hives going with 50 acres. Woohoo! Wow. And listen, you have, honeybees love chicory. If my memory serves me right, chicory is that kind of a wiry plant that you often see along the side of the road. Has a, almost a purplish flower. Kind of a scrawny. I think of it as a scrawny plant. I may have my plants mixed up, but I think that's the one that I see in the ditches. The bees love those. Seem like they just open up in the morning, though, not much in the afternoon. The bees are in there. White clover that you see in your yards, wow. Now, the red clover, and I think it's also called pink clover, and I don't have the names in front of me right now, but the red clover, the pink, that's kind of a ball. Most honeybees don't have a long enough proboscis, which is their tongue. It's not long enough to get down into those big bulb clover bulbs. So scratch that off the list, but they love the little white ones and they'll draw a lot of nectar out of those. Now, you bring up a good point. I understand you are concerned about some issues around your farm with insecticides. Well, just the word insecticides tell us a lot. It means, you know, the word insect is in it, which means that the chemical is designed to kill insects, and it will not be friendly to bees either. They are an insect. So you'll just have to work out a deal with your farmers, as most of us do. Make sure that the people who spray the poisons in your area know that you have honeybees there. They are not allowed to overspray. That is illegal. Heavy penalties can be faced and levied against crop dusters who overspray. It's a very dangerous situation, both for other insects, but also for humans. So these are very crucial things. I always, and most beekeepers that I know do this as well, we try to remain on friendly terms with our farmers near us so that we can work together. And if we know that if they must spray insecticides on their property, that we can take measures. If it's very close to our hives, we can take measures to throw a blanket over our hives for a day or move them out for, you know, a few days and move them back in. There's a lot of things you can do and work around this. So I would not let that hinder me, because I live just feet away from cornfields and bean fields, and never been an issue for us. So yeah, Mike, go for it. Woohoo! Enjoy it. I have a great respect for crop farmers, and I'm not worried about the water that runs off the fields. They are very much aware of how it has to have low level of nitrate, and so I think you'll find that farmers are being very conscientious about how they're handling their chemicals in their fields, because certainly they are watched very closely about what they do. So good luck, Mike. We hope to hear from you. Maybe you can give us a call and let us know how things go. Okay, here's another email from Cindy, who says, I've received my two beehives from you. Must say they're beautiful. It's 73 here today. We've been praying for rain. I've just finished placing my hives. Oh boy, this is going to be fun. My questions are, do I need a queen excluder? That's probably the number one question that people ask. I looked on the website and see that you don't sell them, I think. Oh, we do sell them. Which do you prefer, the whole bee suit or the jacket with the attached hood? And I live in Central California on the coast. Is it wise to order bees as far away as you are, or should I search around for a local distributor? Thanks so much for the beautiful hives and for your help, Cindy. Well, thanks, Cindy. That's an encouraging email. I wish it was 73 degrees here. It's not even 73 degrees in my house with the heat on. All right. Well, to answer your question, queen excluders, listen up, kids. Listen up, kiddos. Queen excluders, I'm going to answer the question again. Here's the deal. Queen excluders are designed to exclude the queen because she's larger. Can't squeeze through the wire or the plastic openings in a plastic one. There's two types of queen excluders, metal and plastic. So the drones basically can't get through there either. They're too big, so only the workers go through carrying their nectar up. All right, I know some of you are brand new to this, so let me explain it. The bees have their home in the lower section of the hive, what we call the brood area, the brood nest, the brood chamber, the brood boxes, the brood deeps. We have all these. It all means the same thing. It's the boxes where the hive lives. They store honey there. That's for themselves. They store pollen there for themselves. You know, we don't take that honey. We don't take the pollen. That's to raise their young. That's where they live. Now, above that, they'll keep on bringing in nectar and making honey because that's what bees do. And there are times when the queen will run out of room and get up into the honey super where you're wanting to get your honey collected, and she'll find empty cells in your honey supers where you're wanting honey to go, and she'll lay eggs up there. Not a lot, but some. So the queen of Scluder is to help prevent that. By keeping her down, she can't go up through there. Here's the trick. Do not put a queen excluder underneath your honey super if you have undrawn foundation in your honey super. It's a little tricky. Sometimes it can be tough to get that comb drawn out. And if you're excluding the queen, you're also making it a little more difficult for the workers to squeeze through there. They can make it through, but now they have a little bit more difficult time doing it. It can slow down the operation of stretching out, adding the comb in that super. So if you're going to use one, wait until they've pulled the wax out. That's a term we use, stretching out the wax. They build their comb on the foundation of the honey super frames. So don't put it on until they have drawn it out. And then you're kind of, you know, in a position of wondering, is my queen up in my honey super with all those other bees? How do I know if she's down, if she's up? Well, you know, good luck, you don't. And you just have to kind of look, do your best. You can shake or brush them down, so forth, kind of keep them down. But here's the way I handle it. I don't use a queen excluder. It's too much trouble. The maintenance is too high on it. You know, you don't really need to use one. And every time I do, it does seem to, well, a lot of beekeepers call it not a queen excluder, but a honey excluder. And so it does seem to prevent the bees from doing a good a job as they could by drawing the frames out or by putting the nectar up there making honey. So it's best, then, my philosophy is know where your queen is, keep her out of the honey super. If you see her up there, shake her down, pick her up, put her back in the entrance, you know, lower down, keep her down. It's simple as that. No one cares in the hive if you pick their queen up and put her, you know, in the entrance to let her start laying downstairs again. No, the bees don't really care. We pick up and handle queens all day long. And so, you know, don't freak out that you're touching royalty. You know, you're okay. Just move your queen around where you want her. Don't kill her. Don't squeeze her. But, you know, she's pretty tough, and you can keep her out of that honey super, all right? So that is a good question, Cindy. Now, whether you should buy your package bees from us or not, had a guy the other day call from California, said nobody would send him bees that far. We will. We prefer to send it second day UPS. Pay a little bit more. We'll be happy to send you packages to California. And, of course, you probably have a jump on the weather. You're going to have to wait here until packages can be shipped the third or fourth week in April. Otherwise, you could shop around, call around. I have no idea in California who does sell packages, but maybe you could do a little research, talk to your associations, other beekeepers. Maybe they have a local distributor there of packaged bees. All righty, let's see. What are the kind of... we got a few more emails that I do want to answer here. Okay, here's a good one from Jeff. He says, I have received the hives I ordered from you and am pleased with the workmanship. I will be picking up some nooks April the 4th for them from a local beekeeper and was wondering about the difference between hiving nooks as to packages. There's a lot of training for packaged bees, but very little for nook hiving. That's a good question. All right. Whoa, good question, Jeff. What's the difference between a nook and a package, and how do you install them? Here you go. Nooks are nuclei. That means they are the seed. They are basically the center, the nook, nucleus of a hive. A nook can be anywhere from three or four or five frames of a hive, a full-fledged hive. And we sell nooks, and so what we do is we pull out of a hive, we pull out several frames of honey, of pollen, of brood in various stages, and we put those in five. We use five-frame nooks. And, of course, we either add a queen or use the queen from the big hive and let her go into the nook and then raise another queen in the big hive. But anyway, when you purchase a nook, you are purchasing five frames of a beehive. of honey, of pollen, and of bees, larvae, eggs, pupae, you know, the whole works. And so they have a little bit of a jump start, because in a package, all you're getting, I shouldn't make it sound negative, but compared to a Nook, a package comes with 3 pounds of bees, no drawn comb, whereas a Nook, you have 5 drawn comb. You don't have any eggs being laid in a package. You don't have any brood in various stages. You simply have 10 to 12,000 bees and a queen that is not yet released among those bees. So when you install a package, you shake all those bees out of your package into a hive, and you pull the little cork off the queen cage and slip her down among the bees, and then a week later you come back and your queen's been, you know, that little candy's been chewed away in the queen cage, and they like her and she likes them, and off they go. Now here's what you do with a Nook. You just simply buy a hive, buy a Nook. When you get your Nook, you take 5 frames out of your Nook, and you put them in your hive, right in the center of the lower deep. Put the lid on, boom, they're going. I mean, you know, that's all you got to do. That's the difference. You don't shake. You just transfer the 5 frames into your hive. I will have to get some instructions. I need to have a little video. I think I've got a video on one of my beekeeping lessons about installing a package, but I do need to give a video on installing a Nook. Let me give you a word of warning, you Nook buyers. Those of you who scour your neighborhood beekeepers so that you can buy Nooks. And let me just give you a word of warning and advice. Well, I'll have to do it after I take this call. Hang on. Okay, that was a nice chat with Kyle from Minnesota. He called tonight, and he was surprised that I answered the phone at 8:30 in the evening, but I did, and he placed 2 packages of bees orders going to Minnesota for him. So it was great talking to Kyle and excited about him getting involved in beekeeping. All right, where was I? What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, well, what I was saying about Nooks, I want to warn you about is, look, when you buy a Nook, those bees are going to be disoriented because they've been placed in a car or a truck. They've been driven around, and, you know, as comfortable as your truck is or the car is, as smooth as it is, there's still a lot of shaking, a vibration, turning, and bouncing that goes on. And those bees become agitated in that Nook box when they're transported. That's all it is to it. And you've got to be prepared that when you get home with your Nook that you're so excited about, all your little bees, I bought a Nook, oh, they're so precious. When you open that thing up shortly after you've been traveling, and especially if they've gotten real hot, ooh, boy, you don't want to do that. They are agitated, and they're kind of going to be flying out looking for the dude who shook them up and moved them. You know what I mean? So the nicest, most gentle bees can be pretty ticked off when you transport your Nook. So you got to be careful when you first get that Nook. You got to bring it home, and I recommend if you can put it somewhere near where you're going to install it. You know, put it next to your hive you're going to install it in, and pull the opening open and then run. maybe you don't have to really run, but be prepared because they're going to come out of there. Because they want to, they're hot, and they want to stretch their wings. But you need to just pull the opening open and then get away from that Nook. Leave it alone, maybe for a day, at least 24 hours, a day or two. Come back after they've settled down and kind of gotten over their transportation, and then you can install them in your hive in a day. Wait at least 24 hours. 48 hours wouldn't hurt a thing. And you'll be much better for it. There's just a word of warning on installing Nooks. All right, let's see. I want to talk about one more. Oh, here's one more question I wanted to bring up from an email from Michigan that says, my neighbor and I have 4 hives going this year. My question is, how close or how far should we put our hives? Does it do any good to separate the hives? We have 20 acres between us. you know, it really doesn't matter. If you've got four hives between you, you could put them 6 inches apart, all four of them in the same spot, or you could spread them out all over the 20 acres. It doesn't matter. If you have Italian queens, Italian hives, they're more apt to rob each other in the fall when there's a dearth. Dearth means there's little to no nectar flow, and the bees are just scavenging around trying to find something. They'll find a weak hive, and they'll rob it. They'll try to steal the honey from a weak hive. Now, it's not going to make any difference whether you put them 6 inches apart or 60 feet or 60 yards. Anything under 3 miles apart, and they can still rob. It can still happen. So you don't worry about that. You just try to do the best you can, kind of put the entrance cleat in position to cut down on robbing and the dearth in the fall time of the year when there's, you know, between fall when the flowers have died and winter when the hive clusters, there's that time when the bees really go snooping around to see if they can find some last-minute storage of nectar before winter hits. But, yeah, you can just feel free to put those hives on those 20 acres wherever you want to pull them. It's not going to make a difference. All right, here's another email that says we just ordered a startup hive from you, and we had a question. Why is a screen bottom used as opposed to a solid bottom? We were curious, as my husband's grandfather used to build his own hives and always use solid bottoms. That's because of the mites. And the mites are, when you had solid bottom boards, mites would go to the bottom, they'd fall to the bottom, and then they would just wait until the bee walks over or flies by, and they would attach themselves to the bee and go back up into the hive. Well, with a screen bottom, the mites fall out of the hive. Makes sense. And once they fall out, they can't get back in. This is the Varroa mite we're talking about. Became a problem in the late 1980s and still a problem today. So screen bottom boards not only add ventilation to the hive, both in the wintertime and in the summer, but also part of integrated pest management of cutting down on mites and hives. And it's probably true, your husband's grandfather probably didn't even deal with mites, didn't really need screen bottom boards, but now we do. Now we view that they are a must. And all of our hives come with screen bottom boards. Here's another email from Lonnie that says, David, not sure you received my email a few months ago where I mentioned to you how much I appreciate your testimony and a little info on you and your family. God seems to really bless your family immensely. I currently teach high school in Dade City, Florida, and have received a grant to start a beekeeping club at the school. We had our first meeting last week, and over 25 students and staff showed up to learn more about bees, honey production, and pollination. I've shared with them your website and Feed Blitz newsletter, so you might see some of them signing on soon. I also would like a little more info on the goal you set to attract new beekeepers this year. I started beekeeping back in 1986 before too many diseases, mites, and small hive beetle were introduced, and then sold everything when I went into the military. I've just started back with 6 hives last year, and I'm having a blast. Even though your operation is in the far north compared to Central Florida, I enjoy your newsletter. Well, thanks, Lonnie. Nice to hear from you, and it's good that you're getting back into it and having a blast. And like I've always said, beekeeping, it seems like it is just a blast, isn't it? Lonnie referred to the Feed Blitz newsletter, which is basically our basic beekeeping blog spot. It's our beekeeping lessons. That if there's a place you can sign up that every time we produce a beekeeping lesson, it is sent to you as a newsletter through email. And I believe there's a place to do that on our website, or on each beekeeping lesson there's a place to do that. So you can enjoy receiving them to your email account. And so Lonnie enjoys following that. And thanks, Lonnie, for getting more of your students to sign up for our basic beekeeping lessons. And we're happy about that. Hey, you said you also wanted to know a little more about the goal that we set to attract new beekeepers this year. We have approximately 127 people that we're tracking right now that have associated us with helping them start beekeeping. And it's not an exact science, but it's close enough, you know. So, and I'm sure there's more, but we don't hear from those who may have not checked in yet, but we're happy that's plugging along, and we hope to help 1,000 people start beekeeping in the year 2009. So we're, what, 10% there? Or 1%? It'd be 1%. Long way to go. All right. But, no, 100 would be 10%. So that's not bad. A little over 10% of the way there. All right. Not bad. So, thanks for writing in, Lonnie. Oh, and here's just a great email, too, from Jacob. He says, I'm a dairy farmer here in central New York. I work with my dad, brother, and grandfather on our 100 to 120 cow family farm. Well, that's neat. Wouldn't that be great to work with your dad and your brother and your grandfather? Wow. Well, that's just fine, I think. Jacob goes on to say, I am incredibly impressed that there are still people such as yourself and family that still maintain strong morals and values, two things that today's society is sorely lacking. I just finished reading through all of your lessons on your blog. I've decided to take the plunge this year and keep, based on your suggestion, a couple of hives. I plan to first talk with my uncle and see if he still has any of his beekeeping stuff left that I might be able to use and then purchase remaining pieces. And he goes on and tells us a lot about his goals and what he's hoping to accomplish. So it was great to hear that our beekeeping lessons have been valuable to Jacob. And the fact that he says he's finished reading through all of the lessons. Wow, that's great. Good for you, Jacob. All right, well, that's enough email for today. And I wanted to share with you some fun stuff about honeybees on the light-hearted side of it is that some facts that we just often don't think about with honeybees, but it takes 556 worker honeybees flying 35,854 miles, making 80,000 trips, visiting 2 million flowers to produce just 1 pound of honey. That's amazing, isn't it? And of course, as you've heard me say before, one-third of every bite of food that we take is directly or indirectly brought to us through the pollination of the honeybees. And so we are in debt, and we are very much in need of more honeybees throughout the country. Some honeybee trivia that we mentioned from time to time, and may have some new information here for you to think about. Did you know that the queen lays approximately 2,000 eggs a day during the honeybee season, the warm season? 2,000 eggs a day. That's incredible, isn't it? Wow. And during the summer months, there are 50 to 70,000 bees in a colony, and only a few hundred males, and only one queen. So between 50 and 70,000 bees in one hive, one queen, and a few hundred drones, which are the male bees. Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Let's talk about the male bee, the drone. Does the drone have a father? I'll let you think about that for a minute. Does the drone, the male bee, have a father? All right, you hold that answer, and let me ask another question. Does the drone, the male bee, have a grandfather? All right, here's the answer, and now we're getting into some genetics of the honeybee. A male bee, or a drone, does not have a father. But yes, he does have a grandfather, but only, of course, on his mother's side. And his only purpose, of course, is to mate with a virgin queen. And that is just incredible in it. Do you want me to explain how this works on the male drone not having a father? Well, remember, the queen can lay both fertilized and unfertilized eggs, and she can choose. So if she chooses to lay an unfertilized egg, that means that the drone is an exact replica, genetically speaking, of her. That is not a fertilized egg, it becomes a male drone. And so he has no father, because the sperm does not make the sperm of the father of the sisters, it does not make contact with the egg, so he is therefore fatherless. But he does have a grandfather on his mother's side. Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? I'll let you think a little bit more about that. The honeybee is the only insect that produces food that is consumed by humans. I hadn't thought about that before. Well, and I don't know if that's exactly 100% flawless, because there might be other food that insects produce that people eat, but certainly not to the degree of honey. How about the speed of a honeybee? How fast can a honeybee fly? Depends on if they have a tailwind or a headwind. I've seen some coming in to their hives in a headwind, and they don't fly very fast. But typically around 15 miles an hour is what a bee will travel. And it seems like they travel that speed whether they're in a hurry or not. They just go 15 miles an hour all the time. And a queen honeybee begins her life as an ordinary female worker larvae, but by being fed ample supply of royal jelly, she develops into the queen. So there's nothing special about the egg that is laid. Only special thing is how the egg is treated once it's laid, and it can become a queen. All right. All the worker bees in a hive are female. The workers are all females, and the drones, again, are just kind of sitting around, and I don't know what they do. They pop a few, they hit the remote, they watch TV until it's time to go mate with the queen, I guess. You know, they're just taking up space. All right, here's a question for you. How many wings does a honeybee have? Mm-hmm. Is it two? Well, they do have two wings, but they have more than two. Is it three? Is it four? Could it be six? Honeybee has four wings, two on each side. How many eyes does a honeybee have? Well, technically, they have five eyes. They have, of course, the two big ones on each side, one big one on each side, and then the three on top makes five. So that's some interesting facts about honeybees that are just amazing, how fun it is to be a beekeeper. And I bought a new book from Amazon on beekeeping that I want to tell you about. It's a good book, and I think it's a book that you'll enjoy too. It's called Queen Rearing and Bee Breeding. It's by Harry Laidlaw Jr. and Robert Page Jr. And if you're becoming more interested in raising your own queens, this is the book for you. Chapters explaining all about queen rearing and bee breeding, genetics. It talks about how to go about it, how to make your queen cups. I mean, it's just thorough, and it's available through Amazon. Again, it's called Queen Rearing and Bee Breeding by Harry Laidlaw and Robert Page. Be a good book for you to get. Beehives approved in Durham, North Carolina, but coops must wait. That's what the article says. It says beekeeping is okay in Durham backyards, but city leaders aren't yet comfortable with the idea of allowing chicken coops inside city limits. And get this, it says with little discussion and by a 7-0 vote Monday night, the Durham City Council approved beekeeping inside the city limits. And so those of you that are maybe wondering about your own community or your city or your town, you might consider what's on the books. And if it is negative toward beekeeping, certainly this is a good example how you can change that and begin keeping bees inside the city limits. Well, today I want to refer to a lesson that I taught, lesson number 18. Maybe some of you have looked at that, and obviously I know some haven't because it's a question that's often asked. How many hives should I start with? And I know sometimes when you're trying to cut corners, you're trying to, you know, just kind of get enough equipment going, the easy thing is just to start with one hive, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with starting with one hive. But let me tell you why you should start with at least two hives. It's a common question. How many hives should you start with? And you need to keep in mind that colonies of honeybees can and do sometimes die. They die out even after we do everything right. I mean, it's a natural death. For example, in one bee yard, I had about 30 hives last year. From that spring until midsummer, I lost a hive. And then from midsummer until fall, I lost another one. Why? Well, it was not CCD. It was not any kind of disease. It was not because a bear, you know, tackled the hive and tore it apart. The bees did not leave the hive all at once. They didn't abandon their young. They, you know, it wasn't anything. They had plenty of honey. They just didn't do good. As simple as that. Probably the queen may be to blame. Maybe she wasn't a good layer in the beginning. Maybe the hive never got off to a good start. Maybe they tried to replace her but failed. Who knows? You know, but after a while, they just simply bit the dust. And I waited too long to keep an eye on it and didn't get a chance to replace her. And it never worked out for these two hives. Usually it does. But in one of these hives, a worker started laying, and at that point, it's really difficult to ever right that hive again. I tell you this because if you have only one hive and it goes wrong, then you don't have any hives left. If you just had one and it dies, you're out of the bee business. And that's why one of the main reasons I always like to see people start with two. With a few hives, two or more, you're always able to compare your bees and say, well, this hive's doing the same thing as that hive's doing. Must be pretty common. Must be normal. And you can keep an eye on things if you want to. Maybe if one hive is starting to become weak, you can equalize them by exchanging some bees, some frames of bees back and forth. And listen, I'm not ashamed to admit that I've lost a few hives in my day due to my own neglect or mismanagement. You know, I'm just thankful that I had a bunch of other hives to do it right with after learning from my mistakes. And this is why it's better to start with a few hives rather than just one. Again, starting with one is fine, and nothing wrong with that. Most, if not many, beekeepers start with one, but it's better, in my opinion, to start with more than one. In fact, I think you ought to start with as many as you can afford, because I love it, and I think you're going to love it so much, too. And I tell people that when people come to me and they want one hive, the next year they say, boy, I wish I would have started with two. The people who started with two say, I wish I would have started with five. And the people that started with five wish they'd started with 10. And it just, it's kind of like that. And for those who truly enjoy beekeeping, they always are seeking ways to add more hives to their honeybee farms. Honeybee farm is called an apiary. It's pronounced apiary. Apiary. Now, I realize that available space and time has to be considered. You know, how much time is involved with two or more hives? How much space does it require? How far apart do they have to be? Well, they can be right smack dab next to each other, 6 inches apart, you know. There's always a way to gain more places to place your bees, even if you don't own the land. There are friends or family or farmers nearby that if you ask and do a little bit of sweet talk with a jar of honey, you can probably get your foot in the door to expand your beehives into different properties. They're glad to do that. So I say that an average backyard hobbyist should always start with two or more hives. Two hives, you can compare the hives with each other. With two hives, you can see what's normal, what's happening between the two hives. If one colony loses its queen, then you can place a frame of brood with 1 to 3 day old eggs in it from the other hive into your queenless hive, and they'll raise their own queen. And if one colony becomes weak, you can equalize the two by adding more bees to the weaker hive from the strong hive. With one hive, these management practices are not possible. And that's why I feel like it's so important to have more than one hive. Now, if I get more than one hive, will it require a lot of time? That's another question. Look, here's what we say. We believe that you should inspect your hive every 2 weeks to make sure the queen is laying. And that inspection can be pretty fast. Pop the lid off, remove, you know, it depends on what you have on your hive at the time, but remove the upper super, pull some frames out of the upper deep hive body, and examine and see if you see eggs. And if you see eggs, you know the queen's doing fine. And then probably within 15 minutes, you've completed your inspection. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time, but I find that most customers love to stay in there longer. They find it fun to get into the hive and really enjoy inspecting it. And so time is not a factor if you're enjoying what you're doing. Now, other questions that people sometimes ask is, with several hives, will the bees from one hive be confused and not know which is their hive? Will the hives fight each other? Bees keep to themselves pretty well. Each hive has a unique smell, and to each other, not to us. They will not bother other hives. They will just go in their particular hive, and that's it. They can be 6-8 inches apart and still distinguish their own particular hive. It's not a problem. Will they fight each other? Nah. You know, like I said, they keep their own business. Now, in the fall, during the dearth, as I said earlier, when there's no nectar, there can be some robbing of a weak hive. But through proper management and maybe isolating the entrance a little bit, cutting it down, you can avoid attracting robber bees to a weaker hive. Now, how close can you place multiple hives? Well, you know, as close as you want. I've had four hives on a pallet before, and they were just smack dab against each other. But I would really advocate maybe between 6 and 8 inches minimal to keep the hives apart. In case it's windy, they can distinguish their hive and make it to their particular hive. I like to put my multiple hives in U-shape patterns in my bee yard. I think that helps the bees know which hive is theirs too. If, say, you have 9 hives, you can, you know, put 3 facing east, 3 facing south, and 3 facing west, and there's a south opening the bees can fly into and make it into their particular hive. Another question, can too many hives in one area deplete available nectar sources? Maybe, if there's only one clover patch within, you know, 10 million miles, sure. But that's usually not the case. So, again, that's not much of a consideration, although I've heard people make this case that they will deplete the nectar sources. But, my goodness, come on. A bee flies a 3-mile radius from your house. Do the math. That's 12,000 acres. And unless you live in the desert where there's not any flowers at all, this is not an issue. Within 12,000 acres, those little girls, those bees, will fly out and bring it in. So I've had as many as almost 100 hives on just a little over 3 acres before. So, not a big deal to worry about on that. And so let me remind you that if you're considering getting into beekeeping, please consider and take my suggestion of starting with at least 2 hives, and I believe you'll enjoy it all the more better. Well, I want to thank you for joining me today for Studio B Live. It's been a blast being with you today. Hope you've been encouraged and found renewed interest in beekeeping or brand new interest in beekeeping, whatever it is. I hope you're enjoying these Studio B Live broadcasts. Bee classes are coming up here at Long Lane Honeybee Farms. Our next upcoming class will be on February the 21st, and we really are encouraging you to call in or send your registration information in, and we want you to be a part of our next beekeeping course on February the 21st. And you can call us right now and say, count me in. I want to be a part of this one-day beekeeping course. It's on a Saturday, February the 21st, something like 9 o'clock in the morning till mid-afternoon, 3-ish in the afternoon, Central Time, located here in East Central Illinois. And so give us a call for more information. That's 217-427-2678 to be a part of our basic beekeeping class here at Long Lane Honeybee Farms. We still have a few openings left that we're willing to take. We'd entertain you calling us and getting on board. We will enjoy hearing from you if you are interested in coming to our next beekeeping course. Again, that's February the 21st. It's a Saturday. And it's from 9 to 3 on Saturday, February the 21st. The number to call for more information is 217-427-2678. Those of you interested in the basic beekeeping lessons, such as the one that I shared today, Lesson 18, about how many hives you should keep, they're all located on our website at honeybeesonline.com. Click on the beekeeping lessons at honeybeesonline.com, or you can go to basicbeekeeping.blogspot.com. We always love to receive your email if you want to write us and let us know that we are impacting your decision to keep bees. We'd love to hear about that. Email me at david@honeybeesonline.com. We also know that many of you are still completing your orders for the spring, getting your hives ordered, getting your packaged bees, queens, and nooks ready from us. We want to encourage you to take care of that as soon as possible so you will not be left out. If we run out of nooks and queens and packages, we don't want you to be upset with us. So order early. Our order line number is 217-427-2678. That's 217-427-2678. And if you want something from us regarding beekeeping that you don't see on our website, rest assured we do carry it. We carry everything to do with beekeeping. We just aren't fast enough to keep putting it all on our website. So be patient with us. But call us and we'll get that taken care of and get that sent out to you. The number 217-427-2678. Well, until tomorrow, when we have our next Studio B Live broadcast, remember to behave yourself.